Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Lama. In a few minutes, Geshe-la will be coming through the door, and he's never been here before. If you please stand to, out of respect for him and his teachings. Today, Geshe-la is continuing his teaching on the seven-point thought transformation. He's on topic number three, and he spoke a lot about the purification practice this morning after a brief meditation, and especially about the four powers. Geshe-la has reminded me to tell everyone to please think about circumambulating the stupas. It's a wonderful purification practice, accumulative merit. You just walk around clockwise. And also to turn the prayer wheels going in it to and from the stupa. You get the same merit as saying all the mantras that are in the those prayer wheels just by spinning them. So it's a very good practice. If you have cell phones, if you please put them on mute or vibrate so that you don't disturb the teachings. And if he invites people to make comments or to answer questions, if you please wait for the handheld mic, because no one can hear you, and we are streaming this session as we streamed the first session. If you have any questions for Geshe-la, I think we have a few forms at the table right at the entrance to the building, the glass doors, and if you just put it on one of his tables here, he'll try to respond to it. He may even read the question out loud, and it can be anonymous. Let's see. The table of offerings here that you usually don't see is from our Tara practice that we had yesterday. We usually have it one Saturday a month. Next month we won't have it, but we usually have it every month. And those are the offerings to the 21 Taras. And you see the statues and behind there, the offerings. And we will be dismantling it after the teaching. So if we really would need some volunteers to do that, and we will distribute the offerings, which are have been blessed, so they're like nectar. Let's see. I think that's about all. There will be some announcements later. So now, if we can just try to sit and get ready, get our minds ready for the teachings. Since someone forced you to come today, you've been accumulating merit since the moment you left your home to come here. Prayer book. Let's chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra, which is between the two lines towards the bottom of the page, and we'll chant it three times. Taya ta mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta mune mune maha munaye soha. Now turn to page 34 and let's read the four immeasurables in English. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for ends. I turn to page 37. Then down towards the bottom, you see the four immeasurables chanting version. So let's chant that in Tibetan. Sentient tam chede wa dong.
The hemp adorns the world, the world.
Now down below you see two mantras. So let's chant Chen Ruizhi's mantra 8 times, Green Tara's mantra 7 times, keeping in mind of those on the prayer list and those in your hearts and minds. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare 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 Soha. 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 Om Mani No Mani No Lo. Okay, now the children are welcome to go to their classes.
Good morning. So please, would you mind take 1 minute to introduce yourself to each other? thank you very much. Thank you. Nice, you know, if we know each other, you know, so that's much easier to help each other. You know? So, the prayer that we just recited, you know, called Four Immeasurable, we recite this, you know, every Sunday we recite, even though there's many, many prayers to say, so I thought less prayer is better. What do you think? Less prayer is better. So I mean, this, then we choose this, you know, Four Immeasurable. So when you summarize that prayer, it's compassion. So the summary of that prayer is compassion. That's no, that's it. It's compassion. No? So that's what is needed. No? Compassion, that's what is needed. No? For your own happiness, for happiness for other human, other people. No? That compassion is critical. It's critical at the beginning, it's critical in the middle, it's very critical in the end, no? The compassion. It's compassion like seed. Then it, no, it's like fertilizers, no? Then it's like fruit. Compassion is very, very important. So see, that is what is badly needed now in the world. Compassion. That's badly needed. So therefore, we recite this four immeasurable prayer. May all sentient beings have happiness and cause of happiness. What is the cause of happiness? Cause of happiness is like positive thought, positive thinking, thinking something good. Thinking something good may not be able to generate very easily, but you know, that requires some deeper understanding of our relationship with other beings. So that requires deeper understanding of our relationship with other beings. So, knowing that superficial level we may know, think that we are connected, but in a deeper level we are connected. Not just connected, deeply connected. Deeply connected. So may all sentient beings have happiness, have cause of happiness. That includes everybody we see here, include yourself. You're hoping or you're wishing them to be happy. Not just that, and also cause of happiness. What is that? That's positive thought. Positive thought. Thinking something good. Doesn't matter what kind of belief you follow, what kind of tradition you follow, what kind of food that you eat, how you look. Doesn't matter, doesn't matter. That you just wish them happy and cause of happiness. So that is the seed. That kind of mindset is the seed. Seed of world peace. World peace, universal peace. Peace in the family, peace in the community, peace in the whole world. There's a seed. Compassion is the seed. So that's why, introducing, taking time, introducing each other. So that's one way of nurturing that, understanding how deeply we are connected, how deeply we are connected. See how deeply we are connected. It's not just in this life, it's like you sacrifice, it's like the deeper understanding is that you realize that you sacrifice so much for my happiness, I sacrifice so much for your happiness, numberless time, not just one time, numberless time. I'm not sure from the Buddhist point of view, I'm not asking you to believe, okay, please don't misunderstand, I'm not asking you to believe, but I'm just talking from the Buddhist point of view. So we sacrifice for each other's happiness for so many different forms, So, when you see the tiny bird making nest. So many trips been made back and forth between nest and the jungle, they're picking something here, there. Amazing, like they're sacrificing both their children, they're building the nest. When they, even the tiny, like size of this, have no school, no religion, no church, no education, but knows how to be kind. Amazing. So many different forms, numberless times we sacrifice to each other's happiness. So from in the camps. So there are two instructions, and there are two important instructions, how to deepen your understanding about our connections and our connections. You heard this. In Buddhism, so-called all mother sentient beings, you heard about this, all mother sentient beings, So then people, you talk about Mother Earth, all mother sentient beings. So basically, I say, that's like introducing each other. It's like, you know, kind of different way of nurturing that connection, okay? So then we will meditate. Maybe next couple of minutes we'll meditate. Please think something beautiful. Think something peaceful. Think something beautiful, okay? Or maybe say something beautiful. At the same time, think about what you are saying. Think about that meaning, okay? Something beautiful. Just picture something beautiful. Just think something beautiful or something peaceful. And stay there. Just think that. That's meditation. So then other thought will cease slowly. If you can just think that, other thought will cease. Okay, we'll spend next couple of minutes. Or as I've said, you know, you can say something beautiful mentally. You can say something beautiful. If you have nothing to say, then you can just picture something beautiful, something nice. Okay, yeah, next couple of minutes. It's too short. It's too short. We could do 1 hour. That's good. When we meditate, you know, why we should say something nice, or why we should, when I say means not really say from mouth, but I say in English,
say in our mind,
or maybe review, you know, so why something nice to review, you know, why think something nice, something peaceful, something beautiful, something wonderful. See, this is the only way to challenge disturbing thought. Only way to challenge disturbing thought is to think something nice. That's the only way. Oh. That's why people say prayer, because all the word in prayer is something beautiful, something nice. Oh. That's why people say prayer, see. So the power of meditations, or the purpose of meditations, I've been probably saying this how many times? 1 million times. I've been said, because it's important. Please don't think, oh, why he's saying this again. It's important. It's important for myself, it's important for all of us, it's important. The purpose of meditation is to reduce disturbing thoughts. Why we should reduce disturbing thought? Because that is the cause of all the complications. That's the cause. All the complications be caused by something. All the complications in the health caused by eating something wrong. All the complications caused by thinking something wrong. Because this disturbing thought is the only way to challenge or stop disturbing thought, is to think something good, think something positive. That's why. Because the purpose of meditation is to reduce disturbing thought, non-disturbing thought. So if your meditation is helping you to reduce disturbing thought, so then your meditation becomes productive. Then your meditation does not become chicken meditation. They're called chicken meditation. In one leg, not my chicken, not my chicken, just sitting like that. The squirrel sitting, my tail over here. It's kind of amazing, you know, they sit like this, they go like this. Once a while, then they sit. I'm just joking, it's a chicken meditation. It's just sitting. It's not really meditation. Meditation means thinking something, no? Thinking something wonderful. Thinking something wonderful, see? Because disturbing thought is the cause of all the complication. That's why. So many complications have been produced by this disturbing thought, maybe thinking something negative. That's the last thing that we need. We don't need any of those. Oh, when it comes down on other people's tradition, culture, and belief, we don't need any of those. When it comes down to yourself, that's the last thing. Why? Because it's the cause for suffering. Oh, see? So then meditation is going to be productive meditation, because you are thinking something positive. Something good about yourself, something good about other beings, other sentient beings, thinking something good. And not just thinking just that. Not thinking, 100 different things in one time, but thinking just that. That's the way to make your mind calm and peaceful. thinking something, thinking one thing, that is good thing, nice, wonderful, peaceful, something, thinking some nice thing, and thinking just that, and sitting. And fully aware, afresh, fully aware, it's not just like that, fully aware. So that's very important for you, to me, all of us, to understand the purpose of meditation, to reduce disturbing thought, because disturbing thought is the cause of all the complications. So, all the complications. Complications. In the end, everything's level. Just level. Just call. I was called Gishi Gelek. I didn't become Gishi Gelek by my own side. I was called. I was called John. I was called Mickey Mouse. I call my talk Mickey Mouse. I label. It's not just from inside. When I was born, I'm not Gaelic. So then my parents decided to ask someone. Then somebody decided to call me Gaelic. So then I become Gaelic. So then people, on top of that level, then some people projected, oh, my friend. Some people projected, oh, I don't like Gaelic. Some people project Gaelic is my friend, So, oh, nice, oh, so rude. Not just rude, very rude. Very mean person, very mean person. Not just mean, I can't stand. It's like, all projected. So then, exaggerated. Level, project, and exaggerated. So then, become so serious. In the end, it's just level. It's just merely level. Merely level. It's just call. So see, in the end, nothing is serious as we think. That's why some practice suggests everything is like dream. Doesn't mean it's a dream, but everything is like, sees like a dream, It's not, it seems very vivid, very absolute, solid, but it's a dream. Elephant in the room. I'm in the dream, not in Hindu. In the dream, dreaming of elephant in the room. So vivid, so real, but when you wake up, turns out it's just a dream. So, so that's why I call it emptiness, emptiness. That's why everything becomes tense. Everything becomes so tense. No, because the core of it is conventional reality. So much been labeled, on top of that, so much been projected, then not exaggerated, so then not seeing through, beyond that ultimate. Ultimately, everything just labeled. Just labeled. Just labeled. So it's all happening here. So, so that's why last Sunday I said this. Fundamental confusions. So see, not knowing what is self. What is self? See, not knowing what is self. Or maybe I thought this is my hand itself, or my body, not knowing self. Right from the beginning, understanding of self is not clear. Not clear. So then, then say my, first say I, not really clear, not sure. So then after they say my, there's also driven by a kind of confusions, So then, then everything's pamungashi dala shenjujis. First we become attached to me, I. So that I is not really clear, it's just merely level. Or is there something solid, independent, absolute, something, or maybe tamungashi dalashi, then dagi, dishi, mula chara. Then out of that, then my car, my religion, my tradition, my people, my way of life, my status, my position, then, you know, then all this complication started, okay, of this about teaching of emptiness, okay. You know? So that's not the main things that I want to talk today. It's just Mickey Mouse has been carried out by emptiness. Mickey Mouse is carried out by the Mickey Mouse, Tibetan Mickey Mouse. So the here, the important things that today I want to talk about is here, Chögyal Kinrhi's. So we are, explaining this book called 7-Point Thought Transformation, how to transform our thought, our concept, our perceptions about myself, about others. You know, this is the called 7-Point Thought Transformations. So I'm explaining this, you know, now how many months, I'm not sure, couple of months. So, so Chögyal Kinrhi said English, please. Huh?
Yeah, so we're in the third point, taking adverse conditions onto the path of enlightenment.
Mm.
And we're looking at the fourfold practice is the most excellent method.
Mm. Jawashi, it's called Jawashi, fourfold. Fourfold?
Fourfold practice.
Oh. Fourfold best method, Tabjicho. Tab means the method, Cho means best method. Fourfold best method. If I translate it with my broken English, that's how it sounds. Best method, fourfold best method of practice. Huh?
So the first practice is the accumulation of merit.
See, what is that? Accumulation of merit. See, in Buddhism, everything is dependent. There's no such a thing called independent. There's no independent. Everything is dependent. Our complications dependent. Our happiness dependent. Our pleasures dependent, no? Nothing is independent, no? Nothing is independent. Even though we Tibetan people say we lost our independence, but from Buddhist point of view, there's no independence. Oh, that's different independence, sorry. everything dependent. So now, merit. What is merit? What is merit? Gewa. What is merit? Merit, created by saying something nice. No, merit is related to verbal. Something nice. Related to mind, something positive. Related to body, doing something positive. This is called merit. What is the merit? Merit that produce positive result. That's called merit, cause for happiness. So therefore, the people, we should create merit. We should create a cause for happiness. That's what it is. Okay, accumulated merit. Can you? Second one?
The second practice, the purification of negative karma.
Okay, so that's the one I want to talk. So I also want to like to hear, without pressure, I also like to hear from you. So here, so now I will talk from the Buddhist point of view. So what, feeling bad about something. So here, being here last 16 years, so you hear, talking to people like feeling guilt. So it's a way to free ourselves. I'm not saying automatically, but with effort. With some effort is a way to free ourselves or liberate ourselves from this feeling, whatever you call guilt or bad, negative karma, whatever you call negative karma, feeling bad or guilt, whatever you call is something negative. So first let me explain from the Buddhist point of view how to free oneself from the feeling bad feeling. What's the correct way to say? Feeling bad feeling. Last Sunday we discussed a little bit, In samsara, in samsara. Nobody is a prophet. Nobody. There's a truth. There's a reality. Nobody is a prophet. But in the samsara, people are trying to be perfect. That means people are trying to achieve moksha or liberation or nirvana. People are trying. There are people in the samsara who are trying to liberate themselves from all the complications for good. That means seeking liberation. So there are people. But in the samsara itself is no matter what we do, there will be always some kind of complications, right? Spring start, nice, it's a bit long winter, kind of cold, now officially spring, after a couple of days, there's pollen. There's some complications, no? There's always something, always something. So that's the nature of samsara. See, that's the nature of samsara, nothing to be taken very seriously, because that's the nature of samsara. That's what happens, no? That's what happens, no? See, that's what happens. There's like the land, there's like water, not deep, deep water, but no, then people go to see bird.
Swamp.
Yeah, swampland, no. Get so excited, you know, to ride in the kayak or maybe one is bored, whatever, ride business, let me go there, you know. Same time worrying about this crocodile or not. Crocodile, alligator. Looking around, you know. Oh, kind of enjoying, being a little bit, wow, nice, very beautiful. Then go a little bit deep into the, how is it, deep. Then eaten by something, bitten by something. Can see, so tiny. So maybe I'm just, this is my just imagination. Then all of a sudden, that happiness is gone. Complication, no complication. The complication. So people thought, okay, oh, Cozumel. Oh, there's a paradise. God, that's where they went there, they stayed there. Wow, wonderful, this is really paradise. All of a sudden, there's a bunch of mosquitoes come around. The paradise is gone. No matter what we do in samsara, there will be always some kind of complications. So it's good to understand, oh, that's the nature of samsara. No, that's the nature of samsara. There's no professions. From the Buddhist point of view, how to free yourself from this feeling, bad feeling. Oh. So see, as a Buddhist, you think about, first one is called power up. I just want to explain that. No, then we'll talk. Okay, we'll talk. Maybe you have something to contribute, how to overcome. Oh. We all want here. I want here too. Oh. Power of dependence. Oh. Power of reliance is called power of reliance or dependence. Okay. If you fall down on the ground, you have to stand up, leaning on the ground. You can just know. That's not how you. There's nothing to as a grab. So that's called. Asking has. Even people here, there's no, everybody's educated. Everybody's not just educated, so educated. So much educated. No, people are very, 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 very educated. So, see, asking, you talk about asking forgiveness, offering apology, All of that. No, that could be power of reliance. If you are a believer, so then power of reliance could be a little bit different. As a Buddhist, you think about image of Buddha, you know, in front of the image of Buddha. Sincerely, genuinely, so I'm going to try to overcome from this bad feeling. Sincerely, genuinely, not just faking. Sincerely, generally, no. Oh, that just power depends on reliance. So the second one, regret, not guilt, regret. I regret I've been so harsh on you. I've been so critical about everything that you do, I regret. So that's positive. You're regretting towards something negative, that's positive. If you say, oh, I regret that I give you cheesecake, I'm not sure. That's probably negative. That's probably negative. Do you agree, or do you agree with me or not? That is negative. I regret that I give you cheesecake. I regret I give you this warm chocolate chip cookie from Whole Foods. I regret, not just chips, warm one, I regret. I regret that I give you that chance. So don't regret, I really, really enjoy it. So that's probably negative, you know, negative. Regretting towards something positive, that's negative. Regretting towards something positive, that's negative. I regret. So that's good things. That's second power. So I'm just explaining how to get out of this bad feeling. From a Buddhist point of view, that's how you get out of bad feeling. With effort. So then third one is power of antidote. Antidote or remedy. Don't just sit around, think something negative. Don't just sit around. You don't feel good. Antidote means, you know, doing something good. See, not that difficult. Just go out your backyard, feed the bird. You know, feed the squirrel. And offering the house for the bird, offering the house. So this kind of very nice, you know, when you offer the house, the bird, then you see, you know, it takes a couple of days, then the bird comes, then they work so hard going back and forth to their nest, you know, then they go inside, then they go look out. It's all nice, you know. They don't have to pay a mortgage. It's a free mortgage, there's no... So there's a completely, absolutely free house. That's so tiny, little bit. See, so many different forms that you sacrifice so much for my happiness. That's what it means, you know. So many. Very interesting. So, kind, you know, to help. So, you know, people say mantra. People say mantra. That we are talking about power of antidote, power of remedy. People do something good, so also maybe have as a voluntary here at the center, voluntary. Because center needs more voluntaries, doing something good. So that's good. If you do something good, you feel good. See? Do you agree with me? That's what we need. We need to feel good. We need to feel good. But that feeling good doesn't come with nothing, that comes with something. With effort, you can feel good. You could feel good. No? Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter. You could feel good, no? If you do something good. So there's power of antidote is doing something good. Oh, something good. So, thinking something good. Oh, no. And traditionally, if you are a believer, there's a prayer, there's a mantra, they meditate, you know, then there's many, many types of purification practice that you can learn, you know. Going around the stupa. I'm going around because I want to get rid of this bad feeling because of it, I'm going around. You know. When you feel good, no, that's good. No, that's good. So, that's part of antidote. Antidote. So the last one is, how is it?
Restraint.
From now on, sake of my own happiness, I'm going to be more mindful what I say. No, I've been so critical. So now I will change my... Change is good. Don't get scared about change. Change is good. No. Change is good. That's how you grow. Change. Oh? Then slowly, the whole point is thinking about bad feeling out of positive mind. Make sense? Positive mind. Doesn't make sense? So that's the point, the whole point. Purification is like you are thinking something about bad feeling bad, but out of positive mind. So then you do something for that. So then at the end, you feel good. I have little experience. Whenever I feel bad, I do something. So then at the end, I feel good. I feel good because I did something. That's why I feel good. Not because of actions, because what I did right there, I feel good. Each time when I feel bad, I do try to do something for that, so that I feel good. That's the method how to free yourself from bad feeling from the Buddhist point of view, called purification. So now let's talk about from your point of view without pressure. I'm not going to pressure any of you. So if you want to contribute, please do. What we should do? Please, from your point of view, what we should do? When you feel bad, what we should do? Dr. Brown? Dr. Brown, are you sleeping? Please, would you mind to say something, please? Yeah. I think Dr. Brown with the pressure. The question is how to free ourselves from feeling bad feeling. Huh?
I think we have a lot of ways to do it, including going to work, watching TV, reading books, picking up the telephone and calling friends. There's so many ways that, these are ways we avoid having to deal with the pain and the uncomfortable feeling that's underneath it. We go, okay, I don't feel good, so I know that watching the Vikings makes me feel good, so on Amazon Prime, I'll turn it on. Last very long. Doesn't solve the problem. I'm sorry? It's a television show.
I want to know too. Yeah. What? Viking?
Yeah. It could be House of Cards. It could be a lot of different ones.
Yeah.
But the Vikings is the... Anyway. So, there's a lot of things that we I think all of us do to feel good when we're not feeling good, including drugs, alcohol, sex, rock and roll, the list goes on and on, but ways to feel good. We're really excellent at that. In our culture, we have so many possibilities. Go to the movies, blah, blah, blah. But I think what you're talking about, I guess, there's more of a deeper remedy for this.
So now the question is, after that, do people feel good?
Yeah.
Do they feel good?
I think they feel good while they're experiencing it, yeah.
How long that lasts?
It doesn't last long.
Oh.
It only lasts as long as you're doing it, usually. Which could be, whatever, an hour if it's the Vikings. But it's not a permanent remedy for the underlying problem. It's not like uprooting the source of the discomfort and the agitation and the dissatisfied mind.
Yeah, very good. And the people in America, do they believe that what you just said? Do they believe that something they can just eliminate from the root?
I don't think so. I don't think that's part of our cultural conversation.
Why not? Why not?
Why
they don't believe they can free for forever?
Well, they don't because that's not something that is talked about. It's not taught. You know, you have to come to Kadampa Center to hear that kind of conversation. It's not a conversation that is part of our culture. I think the conversation in our culture is that if you're uncomfortable, for example, you're in a marriage and you're uncomfortable, well, change partners, you know. Then you find, you know, a new partner and new comfort, which doesn't last very long, and then you change partners again. So there's a sense in our culture, I think, this is my personal opinion, that the remedy for feeling uncomfortable lies out there, not changing my mind, but it's changing the environment, the situation, the job, the person, the vacation, the whatever. I think that's, I mean, anybody want to argue
my question is, why people are not thinking to change inside?
I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people would like to change it, but I don't think that's part of our, it's not part of our training. Now, I do think, for example, if you're a Christian or something like that, you know, praying to God or Jesus for forgiveness, I think some people experience a lot of benefit from that kind of, you know, asking for forgiveness. But, you know, that's not the Buddhist perspective. I mean, that's the theistic perspective, that someone out there can forgive me of my problems. It's not the Buddhist perspective. Is much more, you know, I can do it within my own mind. I can free my own mind. I don't have to rely on some external, you know, God, all-powerful. Being.
Yeah, please say, so everybody would like to hear. So people are tired of hearing from me last week. So it's good to hear from some other people too. Yeah.
Guess what? I think a lot of times it has to do with thinking of one life versus reincarnation. Because if your goal is to, I think a lot of people want peace of mind, but it's kind of tolerant. There's an end around 80 years or whatever it is for this lifetime, and that's, you're just looking to, it is much more focused on temporary because it's one lifetime.
Good, yeah. So, yeah, please, yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed, and just really recently, like in the last year or so, that just being with what it is, like, and leaving it alone, like if you feel bad, just trusting that will pass. And you can be in that and just be with it, and then, you know, you wake up the next day and it's gone, and all that was there. And maybe what I'm seeing is this is access too to maybe accelerating that process even a little faster. But being okay if it doesn't accelerate.
Thank you very much. All the people who are saying thank you very much, yeah, very good, yeah, please. Somebody wants to say yes, yeah. Yeah.
I think, excuse me, voices. Yeah. Is that him?
Mm-hmm.
All right, sorry. I think in this country anyways, growing up with a Christian background, we have, like, going to the movies or watching TV shows as a temporary fix, but we've always searched for something deeper to try and help us with our problems, and that was by going to church or finding some sort of spiritual outlet for us that can help us resolve our problems more. So in one way or another, we find something spiritual to kind of help us resolve our problems.
Yeah, very good. More people talk, that's better.
In person, many churches, particularly Catholicism, confessing, telling someone what you've done and what you feel guilty about, and getting, again, you're getting forgiveness from someone else. Or I found personally just sharing with my spouse or sharing with friends, here's something I think I've done wrong, I feel bad about, and then you'll always get confirmation support from those friends, that circle of friends that know it's not so bad and so forth. So I think sharing with others, again, if that fails, eating ice cream while watching the Vikings pretty well does it for me for the week.
from my perspective, the notion that you could completely overcome unhappiness from the thrust of everything that I've ever been taught in growing up and my education and so forth is absolutely revolutionary. No one ever before in America, the West, studying philosophy, history, whatever, religions, no one has ever before Buddhism suggested to me that it is possible to absolutely, completely overcome unhappiness and to end it. As a matter of fact, I think that the basic idea in the West, and certainly in medicine, of which I am a part, has always been that it's normal to be unhappy. And even going to a psychiatrist, as people have done since that particular profession was invented, the intention was not ever to make people happy, but simply to adjust them to being unhappy. You know, that kind of normal level of unhappiness that was assumed to exist for everybody. And that's what's absolutely astounding to me about Buddhism, is the idea that it is possible to end this unhappiness, that you can completely extinguish it, and not through chocolate chip cookies.
I'm part of that.
I was going to respond to the beginning for the first one, talking about the cookies and what to do to take care to make yourself happy. I think, and what I noticed, that a lot of people that are going through suffering, going through so many challenges, the first step is taking care of themselves, to nurture themselves emotionally, taking care of their body, taking care of their heart. You start loving themselves. Once they start doing that, they start irradiating that kind of happiness that nobody can break it, and they feel that they can share that to other people, and then they can pass it on, that nurture, that care. So I think it has to start with you, to small steps, taking care of yourself. I think that's a kind of, it is everlasting. It's not going to last 1 hour. So, you know.
I was trying to think, as a therapist, what kinds of things do I see coming in? And one of the first places I often start is talking with people about how thoughts aren't real. That I think that they're, at least I see a lot of people who believe that their thoughts are true. And so it becomes unbearable to even listen to their own mind. And so they turn to distraction, like cookies and biking. And so for me, I found it helpful to talk with people about the difference between distraction and avoidance. That if you're watching a TV show to try to avoid, to try to make something louder than these thoughts, the thoughts will come back. But if you start by saying, these thoughts are just thoughts, and they're unpleasant, so I'm going to keep myself company and watch a TV show while they pass through, well, that's distraction, and that's actually a very compassionate way to treat yourself. And I think that introduces a really nice shift from how to relate to the mind, rather than sort of the enemy who's telling you truths, you're a bad person, you don't deserve love, to, oh, these are just stories moving through. I don't know, shifting the relationship to the thought seems to be an important.
So more and more people are becoming awake and aware, and more people are becoming enlightened. So more and more people are becoming, aware of their own ability to come back to that place where you feel at home with yourself and feel at peace with the world around you. And I have my own personal list of things that I can go to when something goes awry, or you know, I realize the world around me is not exactly as perfect as I would like it to be. I have my own personal list of things for me, like as this person in this body, that allow me to feel whole again. So, you know, each person, as we become awake and aware, we are have our own personal list of things that we can do to feel at peace and, you know, and then go back into the world and share that with others.
Everybody enjoying? Well, very good to know.
I just wanted to say something about the difference between guilt and regret.
Mm-hmm.
And when I feel guilt, I feel like I'm basically telling myself I'm a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do about that? Whereas when I look at something I've done that's negative, and I look at it with regret, I say, okay, I did that, and I take responsibility for it. And once I take responsibility, then I can do something about it. I'm not inherently bad. There's something I can actually change there. So I think that's where the difference is between, as you said before, between guilt and regret, is that is approaching it with a positive mind that says, I can do something about this. Even though it's a negative thing I did, I can do something to change it.
Another lady, the young lady. Yeah. Oh, yeah, still okay. So sorry. Yeah.
A really good definition I heard of forgiveness has been very helpful to me, and it was forgiveness is letting go of the hope that the past could be different. And what it made me think is that when we've done something bad, we keep thinking, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that, I should have done this, I should have done that. Kind of thinking that if we think that enough, it's going to change what already happened. And to realize no amount of thinking, I should have, could have, would have, it's not going to change what already happened. So just let go of that and say, I'm going to be different from now on.
Yeah. So last one, then probably time's way over, so now.
I was just thinking more about avoidance. Oh, sorry. We were talking a lot about avoidance and distraction, and I think that it is a serious part of our culture that we see our problems and then we try to do something to put them out of our minds. But I think that on the other side, people are sometimes very proactive about things that they think are causing them distress in their lives, but we tend to look for concrete answers, I think. So I'm unhappy in my life. It must be that my job doesn't satisfy me, so I need to find a new job, or my mortgage is too high, so I need to find a way to bring in more income. We rarely, I think, seem to focus on what is the root of the satisfaction, if it's not this physical, concrete thing, but rather, if I find a new job, am I going to be satisfied then? If my mortgage is easier to meet, am I going to feel more comfortable, or is there going to be something else that comes up in the same vein? So I think that it's interesting to start addressing how do I feel and why do I feel such distress at these different segments of my life.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for each one of you. Thank you very much for sharing your knowledge with us. No? Did you enjoy? Yeah, I greatly enjoy to listening, not talking. Yes, okay, now Sarah, so I'll stop you.
So good morning. My name is Sarah Brooks, and I'm the Spiritual Program Coordinator here at Kadampa Center. And I'm speaking to you today about generosity, which is the first of the six perfections. Generosity is the foundation, and all of the other perfections then build on that. So it's a very important part of developing a peaceful and kind and generous mind. So we offer different ways to be generous here at the center as a way of deepening your practice. We have critical volunteer needs at the moment in all areas, so we're going to have regular announcements every Sunday from the different leaders of the various teams to try and help you understand about where there are places you can get involved and all the different ways you can get involved so that you can find something that matches your talent. You may not know that there's only 3 part-time people who help with the administration of the center, and everything else is volunteer-run. We have a management team of about 10 people who oversee certain areas of the center, like the children's program and media. We need help with communications, with volunteer coordination. So we have lots of people really donating a lot of time and talent to keeping everything running and offering these programs for you. I'm going to speak specifically to my area, which is spiritual programs. Just some of the more critical needs I've highlighted on a little poster that I've put out on the lobby, so you can look at it at any time to get more information. But they're everything from the merit box coordinator, class assistants, free spiritual materials assistant, holy days assistant, sangha drivers. So there's a real variety of things that you could do. But then not everybody has a lot of time that they can offer. You may be very busy with work, with families, children. So you can also be generous to the center by offering financial support, because those two pieces have to come together in order to create the conditions for the center to run. So please give in any way that you can. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Do you mind if I take 1 minute or 2 minutes? Do you mind? So, like, conclusions here, no, all the discussions, conclusions from Buddhist point of view, whatever you said, you know, from, like, Western point of view. Could I say Western point of view? Yeah. See here, like, to feel good, distracting yourself outwardly. Maybe that's what, you know, the one way that people do in developing country. So here, like, according to this 7 thought transformations, and according to this 4 power, there's like more like focusing, not distracting, focusing, and fully aware of, you know, bad feeling, fully aware of that bad feeling, then focusing. Then doing something good. Make sense? Is it different? It's not distracting or like focusing on something, concentrating on something. To do whatever you're doing and concentrating, and at the same time fully aware about the bad feeling, not just ignoring them, and bringing it up voluntarily, deliberately, not out of guilt, out of fear, out of positive mind, bringing them up deliberately, voluntarily, and looking at them very closely, then doing something, concentrating, then feeling good after that. So that looks like there's difference between. So then we can try both. So what is called Viking? Huh? You did it right now? Oh, yeah. So see how it goes, huh? This kind of show? How long?
An hour.
Oh, that's not that. So, I'll try that when I feel bad, so I'll try that. So, now another question, another thing is like, then concentrating, then doing something, is that distracting yourself or not? So, that's my question. Is that distracting yourself? Because you are fully aware of your bad feeling. You are fully aware. You are not just ignoring them, covering them. You are fully aware, then doing something. Is that distracting yourself? So maybe that's a big difference. Maybe you can try, okay? You can try. I'm not asking you have to try, but you can try and see how it goes, how it works, okay? Yeah. Thank you very much. So now that conclusions, beautiful conclusions, comes here because of your contributions, okay? Thank you very much, and have a nice weekend. Oh,
我们的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在这里的人都是在
Yeah, please.